All right, we have any more visitors here? Oh, Vivian. Vivian, wave at everybody so they can see. Vivian's down for a little visit. Vivian had moved down here if she could, probably. All right, we're in the 14th chapter of the book of Revelations. And Sister Andy, did you see the Osbournes?
Yeah.
All right. Well, they brought food for potluck dinner today. They're just coming in here and making themselves at home. If you Osbournes can hear us, we're glad you're here. We're going to clap for you. I want you to know we appreciate having you with us. Phil Osbournes and his wife. What's her name?
Susan.
All right. All right. Revelation is the 14th chapter. We finished up through the fifth verse, I believe, last week. And showing that this was the John having a vision of the bride of Christ. The 144,000, that number, by the way, is a symbolic number. And I was thinking this morning about that, how that God promised Abraham a reward for obeying him and getting up and leaving out of the land of Ur. And he told him to look at the stars in heaven. Told him his seed would be as the stars was in heaven and as the sand is of the sea. We've always used that type as the bride of Christ being the stars of heaven and the sand of the sea being the new earth. That's a number of people that will be saved and go into eternal life. I think there's more than 144,000 stars up there. That's just symbolic of the heavenly celestial realm. Paul said that there's bodies celestial and terrestrial. And he also said that we would have a glory, a body like unto his body. Those that make the bride will have celestial bodies, but the new earth people will have terrestrial bodies. There's no promise for them to have a body like Christ or be a part of the government of God. Somebody asked me, what is going to happen after God finishes all his work? Why would we need a government after God's finished with all that he's going to accomplish? Well, I said, God's going to be doing, you don't think we're just going to be sitting around? Brother Durham's got a son by the name of Aaron. And when he was a little boy, he was trying to figure heaven out. He said, I've said this a lot of times, and I heard it from Brother Clyde Patton. He said, I'm going to sit down by the cool waters of the river of life, hang my feet off in them, and eat a banana just as long as my arm. when I get over there. And Aaron told me, he said, I don't like bananas. And he said, I'm not interested in hanging my feet off in a river and just sitting on the side of the river for eternity. He said, that don't sound so hot to me. I said, well, what do you like? Let's see if we can find something going on up there that you like. I said, there'll be bananas there for people who like bananas, but if you don't like them, you don't have to eat them. I never will forget him telling me that. I thought, my Lord, this boy's mind, he's been working. Well, God, he was plenty busy before man, before he created man. Look at all the universe. And then the heavens before Jesus was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So before God started all this creation that we're familiar with, there was something else going on. And I'm confident that God will have eons of things for us to learn and enter into. And of course, he'll have to have somebody to inform us of his plans and what we're going to be doing. So we don't have a whole lot of insight into eternity or God's everlasting kingdom after he consummates everything. But I know enough about this one that I love it. And if this one's as good as it is, I like life. I love everything about it. I love color. I love being able to see, and I love the landscapes and all of God's creation, the heavens and the land and the sea and all of the creatures and the expectations of life. There's parts of it I don't like, but all that part is supposed to be done away with. So, the Lord has reward for his children. The Bible is very clear on that. It's a little bit hard sometimes to explain the gift of life and then realizing that it's not just a gift in that, you know, if there's going to be a reward, then you're going to have to do something for a reward. A reward is a payment. But God gives you the gift of life, but if you want all the inheritance, there's something you're going to have to do and be diligent in to obtain it. Life teaches you that. Life teaches you that if you want something, you're going to have to put forth an effort to achieve it. If you want the good things out of life, you have to put forth some effort to achieve the good things. All right, in the sixth verse, John here, he said, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Now let me tell you, this, we used to teach this. We used to see the first five verses as the bride, and then this was taught that this was a Jewish ministry that would preach the gospel down through the 1,000 years. I'm going to explain to you how I teach it now and why I've changed on it. Sometimes we just take verses and it looks good if you explain like this verse, like that. But when you read it on down, put it in context. One of the reasons I think that we used to look at it differently is because this comes after he sees the bride made up. But you have to understand how the book of Revelation is written, that he sees the bride. And here's another thing that I think you need to think about. You know how many times in the book of Revelation God shows a restored church and a bride made up? It's just over and over different pictures. We've already went through the first 14 chapters, and the fourth chapter and the fifth chapter, the seventh chapter, the eighth chapter, the 11th chapter. All those chapters shows the bride made up. And God just keeps showing that over, don't you think? And this was written for you and I. This was for down here. This was future. Don't you think God wants you to know there's going to be a restored church and a bride made up? If he doesn't, he just keeps reiterating that. He just keeps us wanting to see it. Here in the 14th chapter, we see it again. And when he says here, I saw another angel, he's just saying, and here's something else I saw. And in other words, he gets a vision, sees the bride made up, and a little explanation of what they are, and then there's more detail added. And here's something else that was shown me. I saw an angel flying in the midst of heaven. Now, this is having the everlasting gospel. That's not a third heaven angel. There's no angels from third heaven that are going to be preaching the everlasting gospel here on the earth. Every nation, every kindred and tongue and people. But this is a ministry that John saw during the time that the bride was made up, time frame, he saw a ministry having the everlasting gospel. Now, that's different than just the gospel or just being able to preach salvation. But this is the gospel that brings everlasting life. It's a sevenfold light. It's the full knowledge of God. And this is in second heavens where this is at. Having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Remember, Jesus told his disciples, go into all the world, preach the gospel. Well, we're going to reach all of the world. And by the way, we've learned a long time ago that all in the Bible doesn't necessarily mean all. It's talking about all who I'm talking about. Everyone in the every nation and everyone, this gospel will reach the whole known world. They'll hear about it, but it won't accomplish everlasting salvation for everyone. They won't have time to get in the bride, but there will be a spreading of the gospel throughout the world. That's the Gentile world God's dealing with. They reached the world back there. They reached into all that known world that God was trying to reach. The gospel was spread. It wasn't embraced by everyone that heard it, and it wasn't heard by everyone in the same exact measure. But it was introduced to that world back there. And there'll be such an operation of God down here in this end of the Gentile world that it'll introduce the gospel of Jesus Christ that the New Testament church had, and it'll go out into all the world down here in the end of our world. Now, verse 7 says, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. Notice there's an hour there. We know the last prophetical hour is 15 years, and that's when eternal judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, will be set up in the last prophetical hour. The first half of it, God will make his bride up, and the last half of it, he'll pour out his wrath and judge the dragon, the beast, the false prophet, and the harlot. Okay.
I don't understand the wording, maybe, where it says, for the hour of his judgment is come. Is that already taking place, or is it going to take place?
Well, now we're talking about a restored church and a future ministry in the last prophetical hour, and that ministry is saying the hour of his judgment is come. At that time, in that last prophetical hour, they'll be proclaiming the judgment, the eternal judgment seat of Christ. Christ's judgment seat will be set up. And so that's what they're going to be proclaiming, the hour of his judgment.
So it's on its way.
Yes. Okay. And in the restored church, you know, there will be a proclamation of God's judgment. It'll be preached. It'll be a sevenfold light message, this everlasting gospel. When it's preached, it'll judge you. There's a certain amount of judgment we're coming up under right now, but we're not being eternally judged. No one in here is eternally judged yet. You hadn't heard enough truth yet. You hadn't saw enough light for you to be eternally judged yet. So, yes.
It might help to make the statement to the effect that we're talking about the last 15 years. That's the prophetical hour,
right?
And you know that we're talking about, and that's what this scripture's talking about,
right?
Correct?
I said that a minute ago, but may not have got out. I mean, you may not have caught it, everyone. That we know the hour is 15 years, and this is talking about the last prophetical hour of the Gentile world. And so I mentioned that the first 7.5 years is to make up, the bride will be made up, and you might say the final touches will be put on this. And there's a preceding 30 years that, if you remember, I'm not trying to be one of these preachers that tries to, you know, put an exact time frame, but you've heard me go through the times and seasons. Paul said, you have no need that I tell you, because I told you that when I was with you, he said. So we know that we're children of the day. We're going to know about the times and seasons of God. And I put the 30 years in 2003. And I went through all of that. That's where it started, 2003. And I'm, you know, I could be off, but I know that's a time frame that is reasonable. It's a reasonable explanation of the prophetical timetable of God, and I know that it can't be off too far, if it's off at all. So that 30 years would put us in 2033. Then there would be a 15-year prophetical hour behind that, which would take you to 2048, which would be 100 years from 1948, when Israel was restored as a nation. I'll say more on that later, but anyway, there's we're talking about this last 15 years, if it was to start in 2033, but there's going to have to be a church come be restored in this 30-year period. We've came through 100 years of Pentecostal era, that this movement, I think, has been the very core of what God has been able to reap out of the Pentecostal era. We haven't gathered the rest of the harvest that he's ripened and ripening out there in Pentecost, but God's gathered a garner out of the Pentecostal era. He's got a garner built to receive a great harvest. And in the last 15 years, that harvest will come in. And actually the first 7.5 years of it, it's going to be a quick work that God's going to do. That's why I'm telling everybody, you know, keep up with technology, because God's going to use great technology to get all this accomplished. The Apostle Paul, when they had a whole 45-year period to get what we're going to do in 37.5 years. They had a 30-year period plus 7.5, half a prophetical hour. And then the last half of their prophetical hour, the wrath of God was poured out in AD 70 and lasted 7.5 years. But we're going to have, you know, the Apostle Paul, he spread this gospel into that whole known world. And he did it, he went by land. You know, he took off on with a donkey. And camels, I guess. He never did say exactly. We didn't get too much history of his trip, but we also went by boat. He left out in the Mediterranean and went down into Cyprus, and then on up northeast into Asia Minor. He went by boat on some of his trips. Sometimes he'd go by land, come back by boat. Took him 2 years to make some of those trips all the way around. We're going to have, and already have, the ability of live streaming video. This Bible study right here could be seen anywhere in the world live, and they could hear it just like you're hearing it. We won't have to take this. They could have an interpreter over there listening to this and interpreting it while it's going on. And so technology is almost unbelievable what's going on right now. That's why I tell everybody, get you an iPhone. It's the very top of technology. And you say, well, I don't have a need for it. Well, find a need for it. You're going to need it. You could watch this on an iPhone. And just right now, you probably could. They're coming out with an iPad. If you don't want an iPhone, we'll get you an iPad. I wish Apple would pay me for these advertisements, but they're not paying me anything, but maybe somebody may need to contact them, see if they'd make a contribution to the church for the pastor promoting their technology. But they're head and shoulders above everybody else in smartphones right now. And this iPad they're coming out with is the size of a sheet of paper or bigger. It's 10 by, what, 9 by 10 or what? I don't know the exact size of it, but it's big, and everything that works on your iPhone will work on the iPad. Plus, they're writing new apps for the iPad right now. A gold rush is going on with the developers. If I was a young man or young woman right now, and I had a computer, I was good with computers, I would immediately start learning and studying how to write applications for iPhone and iPad. There's a Bible program on there called Mantis. And when I first got the first iPhone that came out, by the way, I've got every one of them that came out. When they come out, I'll go get me a new one. Somebody says, well, that's expensive. Well, how much is your Bible worth? That's what I had a preacher tell me. He said, I told him about this Bible program. He said, I can't afford that. So he said, that'll cost. He said, if you buy everything I want on that, it'll cost $100. I said, well, how much did your Bible cost you? I said, you'll use this more than you will your Bible once you get started on it. Anyway, when this guy came out with this Bible on the iPhone applications, I started emailing him and telling him, here's what you need to do on this app. He said, you tell me what I need to do and I'll do it. And he has. And I'm a beta tester for the Mantis Bible program. I've got four of them apps on my phone right now I'm testing for this guy, and me and him has went round and round on a few things that he wanted to do, and I've wrote him and told him, you're ruining this application. If you do this, I'll quit you, and I'll tell everybody else to quit you. I said, you don't know what you're doing. I said, we had it right. Your search feature was right. Now you're playing with it and messing it up. And he couldn't understand that, and we went about 2 or 3 weeks. I told him, I said, I represent several hundred preachers and I have promoted your Bible application and they've all got it. Almost every preacher in the body that's got an iPhone's got this application. And I said, every one of them will quit you if you do this. Well, finally I won. He said, what about me? I said, if you want the best of two worlds, leave the search feature like it is and add an advanced search button in there that you can push a button and go to an advanced search and have what you're wanting. I said, I don't even want it, but if you got to have it, well, make it an option, but don't make it replace what we've got. Well, anyway, he finally obeyed me. Okay, well, Sister Crowell already knows she's going to miss the bride if she don't get in on this. Well, this right here is an iPhone. And when you, and there is 150 apps, which are called applications. They're applications. And there's everything on here you can imagine. In fact, there is colleges right now giving courses on the iPhone. You can... And when the iPad comes out, I can tell you what's going to happen in the future. They're going to have these iPads, and your kids are going to go to school on them. They're going to interact with a teacher on that iPad. It's going to be video. It's vibrant. You can get video on here right now. You can watch movies on this. But you can touch an application like that little Google application right there. Just touch that little Google app, and you can hit a button that's a microphone, and you can say, Mimi's Restaurant. Just speak. Mimi's Restaurant, Little Rock, Arkansas. And it will take that and it'll come up and it'll show you, it'll give you the phone number and address of Mimi's Restaurant. You can push a button to call them, or you can push another button to give you directions, and it'll start a GPS. You can hit start and follow the little blue dot and it'll take you right there. Yes, because I've got the Bible app on here. Okay, so when y'all see me sitting up there on the platform and I'm looking at this thing, I'm on my Bible, though. That's what I'm doing. It's my Bible. I've preached with this. Hadn't you ever seen me talk with this? So you can go to search and search a word. It'll give it every word in the Bible. You can search it in the Greek or Hebrew. Strong's numbers. You can have all the commentaries right at your fingertips. You can have all the Bible versions. I've got the Spanish Bible and English Bible on here, and the New American Standard and the Net Bible and EV Bible. I've got about 8 or 10 Bible translations on here, and about 13 Bible dictionaries and about 8 or 10 Bible commentaries. And it's got, I mean, it's just unbelievable what you can do and how fast you can do it. Coming to church this morning, I had a thought hit my mind. I thought, I want to study God's rewards. And coming to church, I searched reward and went through the entire Old Testament, bookmarked, and have a whole list in my Bible. Just on, don't tell the cops this. I bookmarked it, and right there is a whole list of scriptures in chronological order all the way to Matthew, the 6th chapter from Genesis. That's got every word in it in the Bible. I looked at every word, every time the reward is put in there, and I bookmarked the ones I wanted. Yeah, I was driving. But listen, that's how fast you can do it. I mean, it's just that quick. It just comes up so fast. That's why I'm telling you, you can make the bride between here and Chico Road. When God gets this thing going. Uh-huh. It's good. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. God couldn't do this quick work. He couldn't accomplish. Now, the sevenfold light is what makes it work something in a short period of time. But the technology is what's going to make it available to so many more people. And that's why it's not going to take as much time. I remember I told Brother Liniger, I said, Brother Liniger, when we was working on the book of Revelation, going over all of it, I said, Brother Linger, I don't like this. 7.5 years is all we've got from the time there's a sevenfold light to make the bride, and we got all these people resurrecting. I said, you know, the early church got 45 years. I said, we got to rearrange these scriptures some way to give us more time. He said, I'm sorry, Brother Smith. You can't rearrange scripture. He said, you got to stick with the Bible, and that's all the time it gives. Well, I knew he was right, but I said, that's not much time. And that's when he began to tell me these things. He said, Brother Smith, he said, you're going over there to the Dominican Republic. You know, you've been going over there for years. And you don't, when you go, he said, you don't do like Paul. You didn't go over and stay 2 years. He said, you brought out 15 churches. In just a couple years. And he said, you go over there 3 or 4 times a year and preach to them for a week or two and come back. And he said, you go over there in one day. It took Paul months to get there. But he said, you wait. He said, you won't even have to go. Before this is over with, you won't even have to go. He said, you just get up and talk in your church and it'll be broadcast over the anybody that wants to hear it. He said, there's that kind of technology, and it's going to get much greater than that. And it is. It's just phenomenal what's happening. You can take information on this phone right now. If you've got one of these phones and I've got one of these phones, there's an application for this phone that I can take information and bring it up on my phone, and you can hold your phone up, and I can shake mine towards you, and the information will go from my phone to your phone. Just by me shaking it like that. You look on your phone, there it is. Pictures, contacts, data. And there's another app, if you don't want to shake it, take your finger and do like that, and it'll just flip from this phone to yours. Won't it do it, Brother Jerry? We've done it. I do it all the time. It's unbelievable technology, isn't it? Well... It's even got a cigarette lighter on here that you can blow the fire out on it. You know, you can flip it. You can hear a Zippo lighter click and strike it, and somebody doing crazy stuff like that. That won't help you, by the way, to make the bride. Except you may need it, give you a little light if you need it in the dark. But they've got that too. They've got a flashlight on here that. You can shake it and it'll shine a light, and you can hold it and see where you're going. Anyway, I'm just giving you, I wish Apple would pay me for that kind of stuff. But anyway, it's also got encyclopedia in here. You can search out, you know, you can search a lot of things on it. So, and now they're fixing to have an iPad. You'll see my iPad before long. I've already ordered one. And it's about like that, and I can have the Bible that big, you know. And it, you can make it any size you want to. You can enlarge the print, make it littler. You won't, for as far as technology is concerned, it's still going to take just as much effort to overcome sin and obey God and do all that. But it's just like we're in a fast-paced world. I mean, everything's instant. You know, y'all heard that song? You heard of instant coffee? You heard of instant tea? That was a little advertisement that you don't want to hear the rest of it. I can't even remember what the advertisement for, but it's, you know, it's some little old gal singing it, you know. And but the thing is, you know, now it started out, you know, instant pudding. Now we got, you can drive through, get you just from the time you can tell them what you want till you get to the window, you can come out of there with a full meal, just freshly cooked and hot. And eat it before you get out the other side of the driveway if there's any traffic. Brother Jerry.
Yeah, that brings up a question that Sister Crow was talking about. When she said a quick work, you meant, or I'm thinking you meant, the quick work meant that it went out over the whole nation rather than being an individual type of quick work where it would instantly cause you to be an overcomer, but it would take just as long for you to overcome your faults.
No, you'll be able to overcome much faster, because when you have a bright light and you can see everything much clearly in your understanding, you can overcome faster. Because another thing, the power of God in a restored church is going to be available, and so you're going to have more power of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God working, and there's going to be more available to you spiritually than there is now, plus more knowledge and wisdom, and there's going to be a tremendous amount of persecution on in the world that's going to put pressure on the church, and it's going to take pressure. You're going to have to come under a certain amount of pressure to be able to accomplish what God accomplished, because there's a death you have to go through. And God has to accomplish that in our lives some way. That's going to work. This sevenfold light's going to work a quick work in you, but it's going to make it available. The technology is going to make it available to the rest of the world.
Well, then by that, then what I'm understanding is that then the ministry itself will have a greater understanding too. Then,
yes, absolutely, absolutely. I'm going to read one verse, and we're going to quit on verse. I wanted to read verse 7, just to say something here, I'll go over it again. It says, this ministry that's going to have the everlasting gospel is going to be saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains and waters. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. In other words, this ministry is going to be preaching that Babylon's in a fallen condition. Now, the Jewish ministry is not going to take over until after Babylon's already judged. And the next thing they do is start warning against taking the mark of the beast. That's going to be over by the time the Jewish ministry takes over in the new earth. That's why I cannot put this as a Jewish ministry. This is a restored church ministry that will be preaching down here in the last prophetical hour, that last 7.5 year period. All right, Jacob, you're behind. You're going to have to double up to get all this. All right, let's take a break, and I'll see you upstairs.